Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 70, entitled Lord Krishna's Daily Activities. And we're reading verses 4 through 9. So we'll read these first two verses in call and response, and then the preceding verses we'll read together.
Brahme muhurta utaya Vayupashya madhava Dadyo prasana karana Atmanam tamasa param Brahme muhurta utaya Vayupashya madhava Adyo prasana karana Atmanam tamasa param Dame muhurta utaya Vayupashya madhava Adyo prasana karana Atmanam tamasam param. Brahme muhurta utaya.
Read this next verse together. Ekam svayam jyotiranyam avyayam svasamstaya nitya nirastakam lasam ramakyam asya bhavanasya hetubhi svashakti virlakshita bhavanivritim Brahme muhurte during the most suitable period of the day for spiritual activity. Before sunrise. Utaya, rising. Vari, water. Upasprasya, touching. Madhava, Lord Krishna. Dadya, meditated. Dasana, clear. Karana, his mind. Atmanam, upon himself. Tamasa, ignorance. Param, beyond. Ekam, exclusive. Svayam Jyoti, self-luminous. Ananyam, without another. Avyayam, infallible. Svasamstaya, by his own nature. Nitya, perpetually. Nirasta, dispelling. Kalmasham, contamination. Brahma Akyam, known as Brahman, the absolute truth. Asya, of this universe. Udbhava, of creation. Nasha, and destruction. A to B, by the causes. Sva, his own. Shakti B, energies. Lakshita, manifest. Bhava, existence. Nirvritam, joy. Translation and purport, Christ Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Madhava would rise during the Brahma Muhurta period and touch water. With a clear mind, he would then meditate upon himself, the single, self-luminous, unequaled, and infallible supreme truth, known as Brahman, who by his very nature ever dispels all contamination, and who through his personal energies, which cause the creation and destruction of this universe, manifest his own pure and blissful existence. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the word bhava in this verse indicates the created beings. Thus the compound word lakshita bhava nivrittim means that Lord Krishna gives pleasure to the created beings through his various energies. Of course, the soul is never created, but our material conditioned existence is created by the interaction of the Lord's energies. One who is favored by the Lord's internal potency can understand the nature of the Absolute Truth. This understanding is called Krishna consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that his energies are divided into inferior and superior, or material and spiritual potencies. The Brahma Samhita further explains that the material potency acts like a shadow, following the movements of the spiritual reality, which is the Lord himself and his spiritual potency. When one is favored by Lord Krishna, he reveals himself to the surrendered soul, and thus the same creation that formerly covered the soul becomes an impetus for spiritual enlightenment. Text 6, we can read together. Atha pluto bhais amaleyatha vidhi Priya kalapam paridaya visasi Chakara sandhyo pagamadi sattamo Kutanalo brahma jajapavavyataha. That most saintly of personalities would then bathe in sanctified water, dress himself in lower and upper garments, and perform the entire sequence of prescribed rituals, beginning with worship at dawn. After offering oblations into the sacred fire, Lord Krishna would silently chant the Gayatri Mantra. Report. Sridhar Swami points out that since Lord Krishna was in the disciplic succession from Kanva Muni, he offered oblations to the fire before sunrise. Then he chanted the Gayatri Mantra. Text
7-9.
Upasthayarkam udyatam tarpiyatvam manakala devan rishin pitrindidan vipran abhyacharchatmavan denunam rupma shringinam sadvinam muktita srajam ayasvinam kristinam savatsanam sattvasasam tadorupyam kuragranam shamanga kilai saha alankritebhyo viprebhyo badvam badvam dine dine. Each day the Lord worshipped the rising sun and propitiated the demigods, sages, and forefathers who are all his expansions. The self-possessed Lord would then carefully worship his elders and the brahmanas. To those well-attired brahmanas, he would offer herds of tame and peaceful cows with gold-plated horns and pearl necklaces. These cows were also dressed in fine cloth, and the fronts of their hooves were plated with silver. Providers of abundant milk, they had each given birth only once and were accompanied by their calves. Daily the Lord gave many groups 3,084 cows to the lured brahmanas, together with linen, deerskins, and sesame seeds. Om Akhyanta Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Asmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidatvi Svapadantitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Vaganatanditam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dino Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So beg for the blessings of the assembled devotees. Maharaj, beg for your permission and blessings to say something for the benefit of all the devotees, for the pleasure of Radhe Shyam, and in line with Guru Parampara. So I'll read this verse again. This is text 4 and 5 together. Lord Madhava would rise during the Brahma Muhurta period and touch water. With a clear mind, he would then meditate upon himself, the single, self-luminous, unequaled, and infallible supreme truth known as Brahman, who by his very nature ever dispels all contamination, and through his personal energies, which cause the creation and destruction of this universe, manifests his own pure and blissful existence. So hearing about Krishna's daily activities in Dwarka, his daily routine as Dwarkadish. And there's something so pleasing about hearing these pastimes. And I was thinking, what makes it so pleasing? We can think of Srila Prabhupada and his daily personal activities, his daily schedule. And for those who love Srila Prabhupada, there's such nectar in hearing Just his simple daily activities, what he did every day. What did Prabhupada do upon waking, first thing? What was he doing at midday? You know, what was he doing in the evening? What did he eat in the evening? For those who love Prabhupada, this is such nectar. And so even though some of these pastimes we're hearing of Krishna are kind of simple, just what he does in the morning, his particular duties, when we have love for Krishna, it's like we have, when we have love for Prabhupada, we can so much relish those simple daily activities. And so what's so pleasing is the intimacy of this kind of information, these kind of details. Right? To know someone's daily routine, it's very intimate. What do they do every day at this time? This is intimate information. And this is what makes Shruti Kirti Prabhu's book so beautiful. You know, this book, What is the Difficulty? That book is just, it's just pure nectar, because he's just giving very these kind of daily occurrences and the lessons that he's derived from those things that Srila Prabhupada has done throughout the day. So we hear when Srila Prabhupada, he describes himself that he would usually take rest at about 10 p.m. And before resting, he would say something like, sometimes, let me waste my time now. Go to sleep. Prabhupada saw that sometimes as wasted time. He wanted to engage all of his energy in Krishna's service always. Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that there are nine symptoms of bhava. And one of the symptoms is that you don't want to waste one moment even. 24 hours engaged. You want that. You desire that. And so when you have to relax and just kind of rest, Prabhupada would say, why? Now I have to waste my time. And he would sometimes glorify Krishna consciousness by saying, we have something very special to offer to the world that nobody else is offering. We say it is actually possible that you can be engaged in the service of Krishna 24 hours a day. Who else can claim that? And so somebody asked Prabhupada, what about Prabhupada? You sleeping at night? How is that engaging in Krishna service? He said, if you become enough absorbed throughout the day in serving Krishna, you will also dream of Krishna. That is also service, remembrance. And Prabhupada said, you're just like myself. Sometimes I am dreaming of honoring Prasadam. Prabhupada said that I have dreams sometimes that I'm just honoring Krishna Prasadam. So service can go on even while sleeping. This is what's so special that we have to offer, Prabhupada says. 24 hours a day we can serve Krishna. That is actually possible. Prabhupada would sleep for, he said, 3 to 4 hours. So if sleeping at 10 o'clock, then 1 o'clock sometimes he would wake up. And what was his activity at that time? Yes, so he would get up. Everybody else sleeping, Prabhupada would get up, sit on the floor with a table there in front, with the Srimad Bhagavatam open and all the commentaries of the previous acharyas, and deeply meditating on how to give this sublime knowledge of the Bhagavatam to the people of today. And it's amazing, it's the same meditation the sages of Naimasharanya in the Bhagavatam itself, what they all gathered together and they were meditating. They saw Kali Yuga is coming. Out of compassion, let's give the essence to this, to the future they were seeing. Trikalagya, they're able to see into the future and saw the effects of Kali Yuga. And therefore, out of compassion, we're meditating on how to give this message, how to give the essence to the people. Prabhupada, the same meditation was going on. And he was speaking into a dictaphone. And Prabhupada said that when he was up at those hours writing comments, actually not writing, just speaking the comments into this dictaphone, he said that these were his personal devotional ecstasy. Of course, there's that image of Srila Prabhupada in his final days, you know, lying on his back, could hardly move, and they were placing a dictaphone. Pradyumna Prabhu was holding the dictaphone to Prabhupada's mouth, and he was still speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. What an image of what a glorious passing, continuing giving out of compassion to continue to give for all of us. So after Prabhupada would translate Bhagavatam, then he would, sometimes he would chant a little japa at that time. And devotees sometimes ask Prabhupada, what do you feel when you're chanting japa? And he said, one time he said, he gave different answers at different times, he said, I feel no fear. We're always, actually, fear is always there in all of us. This is a symptom of being in this material world. We're always, even we're not aware of it sometimes, but it's always kind of there buzzing in the background. We're always fearful. Unless one really is connected to Krishna and they can fully trust. So Prabhupada said, when I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I feel no fear. And another time they asked him, what are you experiencing when you chant japa? Prabhupada says, I'm just understanding that here is Krishna. So simple. We're always wondering, what am I supposed to think when I'm chanting? And just, here is Krishna. That's all you need to think. It's like this famous baseball player. He's the greatest, some people say, the greatest hitter of all time. So they asked him, you know, how do you do it? You know, so many hits you've had throughout your career. When you get up at the plate and you have that bat in your hand and that ball is about to come, what are you thinking? So he said, well, I'm standing there and pitcher throws the ball and I try to look very closely at the ball. And when it comes, I try to see it and then I swing the bat and hit it. It's simple. No special technique. Here comes the ball. Try to see it and swing. That was the answer he gave. It's kind of like Prabhupada. What do you think when you chant? Here is Krishna. That's all. So after japa for a few minutes, Prabhupada would take rest. Take rest again for a short time. And then he would get up and bathe. And then he would take a little Ayurvedic medicine. And then go on his morning walk. His morning walk was 1 hour. Prabhupada said three things were keeping him alive. Ayurvedic medicines, morning walk, and what else? Massage. These three things were keeping him alive. So in his morning walks, amazing, he was always being recorded. Imagine if someone followed you around all day and recorded everything you said, and then put it into a book and distributed it to thousands of people all over the world. That's kind of a scary thought, right? Like what comes out of my mouth throughout the day? Someone's always recording. And to actually put that in a book form and then people read it and get endless enlightenment. It's incredible. Sometimes we say Prabhupada is a self-realized soul. So someone who hears that for the first time, well, how do you know he's self-realized? And then we may ask that. How do you know he's self-realized? You're saying self-realized soul. He's actually realized the self. What's the proof? How do we back that up if somebody asks that question? I always thought this was one powerful answer to that. Is that he was simply being followed around and recorded. And from that came volumes of books. And there you have like an ocean of spiritual wisdom for people. Just like this continuous ocean of wisdom. For years, I was just reading those conversations in the morning walks and conversations. I'm just endless. This knowledge is, there's an outpouring of transcendental knowledge coming from him. I mean, you can only do that if you yourself realize, right? Isn't that unique in the world? You follow someone around and just record everything, and then you have like this incredible spiritual wisdom that's there to enlighten people continuously. This is a powerful answer to that. This is not common. You know, who can you think of that you can just record everything they say and get so much enlightenment from it? So after the morning walk, then Prabhupada would come to the temple. And he would greet the deities. There's stories about Prabhupada's, even just his darshan of the deities. You know, he was so much anticipating for the curtains to open that devotees describe sometimes as soon as the curtains would open, tears would shoot out of his eyes. So imagine the anticipation that's building up, the love that when, does actually, have anyone had a tear shoot out of their eye before? You know, roll down the eye a little bit. But what's going on for tears to actually come out? Devotees described, they were, some devotees were sometimes touched by tears that shot out of Prabhupada's eyes when the curtains opened. And then there was Guru Puja. And then Prabhupada would give Srimad Bhagavatam class. This is just kind of like his morning. And then he would have breakfast. Some fruits for prasad. He would have prasad, some fruits he would have. Many times we go into some room and we want to sit down and eat. And we like to have our back to the wall. You know, I'm always looking to have my back to the wall. I want to see everything in front of me. Prabhupada would take breakfast, sometimes when he was alone taking breakfast, he would take prasadam directly in front of the wall. Just so that, you know, he's not seeing anything else, and he's just really attentively honoring the prasadam. Nothing else going on, I don't want to see anything, I just want to appreciate and honor this prasadam. Sometimes he would take prasadam in that way, especially when he was alone in his room. He had great faith in prasadam. And Jaduna Swami describes this pastime of Prabhupada in Mayapur. And when all the devotees had gathered there, they were just starting to get everything really, things were moving forward there. And many residents of Mayapur came, many devotees from America, Europe, Russia were there, and they were all lined up for prasadam. And it was time to serve out the prasadam. So many, many rows of devotees. And Prabhupada was looking at this from his window. And he was just overlooking all the devotees taking prasadam. And a tear rolled down his eye. And he said, let everyone take Bhagavat prasadam. This faith that this is going to do something. You know, just seeing people take prasadam, this is powerful, this will affect their lives, this will transform them, that faith he had in prasadam. One time also in Kumbh Mela, they had many speakers come, many different gurus and teachers, and they have speakers and they speak on these loud speakers there. And so they had, Prabhupada had his little tent there with the devotees, and this loud speaker was blaring. And it was an impersonalist Mayavadi philosopher speaking something about Atma and the hum brahmasmi, and somebody else spoke something later, and it was a little bit, they were kind of arguing, some kind of argument was taking place, and Prabhupada said to his disciples, just see, they will argue on this point of what is Atma, what is the soul, what is God? They will argue on this point birth after birth, and we will go back to Godhead simply by honoring this prasadam. And all of the devotees smiled and laughed. Just by taking this prasadam, we will go back to Godhead. And they will have to come again and again because they're arguing over what is truth, what is God. So he had great faith in prasadam and relished taking prasadam. So after that, he would have meetings, and these were said to be very relaxed meetings. You know, some just very relaxed, not business, but kind of relaxed meetings. And then there would be some oil massage. Prabhupada liked strong massage. One time they tried to, they hired a professional masseuse for Prabhupada. These devotees, they were feeling, he wants a nice massage, what do we know about massage, and some of them, they felt maybe incompetent to please Prabhupada in that way. So they hired somebody, and this man came. And he was kind of muscular. He gave Prabhupada this massage. And afterwards, they asked Prabhupada, how was the massage? And he said, it was not so nice. He has no love for me. I want my disciples to give me a massage. They have love for me. After he would take a massage, then he would take a bath. And then there's lunch prasadam. And then a little more japa, and sometimes some rest also then. Isn't this amazing? Like Prabhupada's managing a worldwide movement? It seems like he just has all the time in the world. You know, it seems like kind of a relaxed morning, you know, morning walk, a little japa. But what was he handling? You know, what was he? I mean, this really points to his expertise in management and also self-management. You know, with all these seminars on self-management and how to manage, but the expert manager. He somehow had a very sattvic day. His daily schedule was but so much responsibility in accomplishing so many things. Right? There are some birds that when they fly, they flap their wings. They have to flap their wings very rapidly to get somewhere. And even a short distance, they get very tired. But then there is the albatross, this gigantic bird that has these huge wings and just... And it goes for miles with just a few movements of its wings. So Prabhupada says that lazy intelligence. You can accomplish many things. This bird gets very, very far with just a few flaps of the wings. And other birds have to flap so much and they kind of get very tired. So Prabhupada's management was like that. It was somehow very smooth and easy. Of course, it kind of was great challenges and difficulties. But still, for this one person to accomplish so much and still have just like to be able to follow this very nice daily schedule, it's quite remarkable. So this lazy intelligent has nothing to do with laziness, of course. It has to do with the ability of how to utilize things and how to utilize people, how to be resourceful and understand how to handle these things. That's what lazy intelligent. And you're not just running around doing everything yourself. Busy intelligent and lazy intelligent. And lazy intelligent is higher. Prabhupada was expert at that. So then he would meet more guests at this time after this. He would meet some more guests. And he said, our Vedic culture means open doors, open windows. Guests can come at any time. Let them come. We have nothing to hide. We are chanting, always chanting. We are always preaching. We are always speaking about Krishna. We are doing japa. You can come in my room anytime and see. We have open doors, open windows. Anyone can come. We are very private sometimes. We display something outwardly, but then we have our own life, and we don't want that interfered with. Prabhupada's Vedic culture means open doors, open windows. And you can come anytime and see. We're not afraid to show what we are doing at any time of the day. That's so beautiful. And then more meetings, GBC. Now will be more GBC business meetings. Just like we're hearing about Krishna here in Dvarka. So at some point he would go to Sudharma. He's kind of the headquarters there in Dvarka. And he would make political decisions. People would come to him and inquire and ask questions. What should we do? And Krishna would give so proud. But also the GBC, these meetings there. He would give some instruction and give some public darshan after that. And in the evening, he would have some hot milk, another massage, and he would rest by about 10 p.m. So that's kind of Prabhupada was doing lots of traveling, going many places, and this, of course, varied what his daily schedule was, but this is some understanding. So we can see the pleasure that's there in hearing these small details. Why? Because we love Prabhupada, and therefore it's so pleasurable, these intimate details. It increases our love. So when we have love for Krishna, then just by hearing these simple activities throughout his day in Dvarka, this will also increase our love for him. We can appreciate these so-called ordinary activities and see how wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come down and is displaying these very so-called ordinary activities. Just to charm our hearts, just to attract us. Prabhupada explains, Krishna is bigger than the biggest. One breath of Mahavishnu. You can take one breath. So, when Mahavishnu takes that one breath, the whole duration of the universe expires in that one breath. He is so great, so big, and so powerful. So Krishna is bigger than the biggest. He's also smaller than the smallest. Anur aniyam sam. That he enters the heart of every living being, even the atom, even a little insect. He enters the heart of the insect, and he's with you. You imagine people are committing so many sinful activities. Krishna's there with them, accompanying them. He's patiently waiting. Patiently waiting. No matter what we do, how degraded it is, Krishna is in our heart, accompanying us. He's smaller than the smallest. He can enter into the heart. So he's bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest. And Prabhupada says what is most amazing of all, what is achintya, inconceivable, is that he is also medium-sized. This is the most extraordinary thing, even though it looks like the most ordinary to us. It's the most extraordinary. The big thing that we think, wow, amazing. The small thing, wow, amazing. But what's most amazing is that he's medium-sized, that he comes to our level and interacts, exchanges with us. So that Mahavishnu is just an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Shyamasundar. And what is Shyamasundar doing? Described here. He's going to sleep at night. He gets up early for the Brahma Muhurta. Everyone, the Brahma Muhurta is the most supportive time for spiritual practice. And, very auspicious, but it says here that the queens of Dwarka, but they dread that time. They dread that time of the morning because it means Krishna now will get up from the bed and leave. So they don't like the Brahma Muhurta. And Krishna gets up and he takes his bath. It says he touches water here in this verse. He touches water for purification. Then with a clear mind, he meditates on himself. We want to follow all the things Krishna is saying, but this part, you know, we are also to meditate on him, not ourselves, in the morning. Although many of us have the habit of doing that. Myself, I have the habit of doing that. First thing, we wake up in the morning, and all our personal desires just rush in. You know? Okay, what do I have to do? What are my desires? What makes me start having personal plans? Right? And then we take a shower. And then we come before the mirror to glance at our most worshipable object. We start from our lotus-like face. As you see, we do everything in reverse. We're supposed to take darshan at the lotus feet first and work our way up. We are looking at our face, decorating, and then down to all the way down to the feet. Meditating on ourselves, but here it's described, instead we're meant to come before the deities. We can dress ourselves very nice and be very presentable so that Krishna sees us and that he's very pleased. What amazing consciousness. Wake up in the morning and take the shower and all these things so that Krishna sees me, he's very pleased, that I'm very clean, I'm dressed very nice. And then when the curtains open, he sees me. So we come before the deities and then we see this real beauty. And we're so grateful to the Lord for manifesting in his form. We can see him and appreciate his beauty. And how grateful should we be to the pujaris, especially here. The pujaris here, incredible. They're giving us the chance to see real beauty and to appreciate Krishna's beauty. So we're grateful to them. Prabhupada, I remember reading in Tamal Krishna Goswami's book, The Final Days, The Final Pastimes of Prabhupada. There's one story where Prabhupada was lying there and it was towards the very end of his manifest pastimes. And he was lying there and a long time his eyes were closed and he was just silent. And then suddenly he just opened his eyes and said, "The pujari is the most fortunate of all." And then closed his eyes again and went back to sleep. Pujari is the most, because directly there with Krishna, serving Krishna directly, this is very special. It's also said, pujari and the personal servant. These are the two most dangerous positions in spiritual life. Why? Why so dangerous? You're so close. The familiarity, the closeness, offenses with you. It's a very glorious, but also very serious position, the personal servant to Pujari. So, as we go through our day, also we are meant to meditate on the Lord. We do this through the chanting of the holy name. He says Krishna is meditating on self, we meditate on him. And this is such a nice description here. Krishna's qualities. Self-luminous, unequaled, absolute truth who dispels all contamination and manifests his own pure and blissful existence. So just by meditating on Krishna, these qualities he has, by chanting the holy name, we're actually freeing ourselves from the cycle of birth and death. Like it says in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chime divyam. So by understanding Krishna's birth in truth, we no longer have to take birth. If you can just understand Krishna's birth, the deeper meaning of that, then you no longer have to take birth. And if you can understand Krishna's karma, his activities, as we're hearing about here, his daily activities, if you really understand those activities, then we become disentangled from karma, from all of our activities that implicate us, bind us. So this is our process. Ramanujacharya says in one place that it's not so much about we're focused on self-mastery. You know, this is a part of the spiritual path. We have to look into our hearts and look at our motives, and all that work has to go on. But it's not so much about self-mastery. It's about becoming attracted to Krishna. It's about thinking about Krishna, getting absorbed in his activities, his birth, his activities. And this is what frees us from the cycle of birth and death. So we have personal work, of course, we do. That will come naturally in spiritual life. We work on ourselves and so forth. But Krishna consciousness means very simply to think of Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. And just by doing that, if one has the faith that just Krishna, only Krishna, my focus is there, then one achieves perfection. So Krishna, then he offers these oblations into the sacrificial fire. He does this also, and he sits and silently chants the Gayatri mantra. And it says here, he propitiates. Propitiates means to please. He pleases the demigods and the sages and the brahmanas and the elders. And I think that's also very significant. We have such small vision that we think it's in this world, it's just me. We're kind of self-absorbed in my small sphere. A few family members, I have my house, I have my car. Very self-absorbed. But we're seeing Vedic culture is you have a very broad understanding. You know, Krishna here is acknowledging the demigods, the brahmanas, the elders. He does this every morning in Dwarka. So that we are not independent, but we're part of this interdependent system, a cosmic system, to have that vision. Right? That very broad vision, this interconnectedness between all beings and the earth and the devas, this therefore we see in the Vedic culture. There is this acknowledge and respect for all, and seeing this interconnectedness between all beings and all things. So we've lost that a little bit today. It's very just small and narrow. Our vision has become very small. Like when some people were making the railroads. So someone is out there in the railroads and they have this, you know, big sledgehammer, and they're thinking, I'm hitting metal. But someone else is there, and they're working on the railroads, and they're thinking, I'm building a railroad. By building that railroad, this is going to, maybe people will be able to travel from place to place now. This is a big thing. This will change the face of the earth. This is, somebody has vision. You know? Somebody has a certain vision that what I'm doing right now is very big and will influence and will affect them. I'm kind of just seeing it in a very broad way. And someone else is just saying, I'm hitting metal. The vision is very limited. So the Vedic culture means a very broad vision. There are gods, there are demigods. The brahmanas, to acknowledge them with what they've given. The elders, to have respect. So every morning, Krishna would kind of acknowledge and respect. This is something else that we can also learn from. And then Krishna, with these very beautifully decorated cows. These beautiful cows. Cows like the symbol of wealth. The cow, from the cow you can get milk and cheese and yogurt. So many preparations can be made for prasadam offered to the Lord. Even the cow dung can be used for cooking as fuel. In the Bhakti Center in New York City, we have cow dung walls in the temple. We were a little worried at first. What are New Yorkers going to think of this when someone actually asks? That's it. Because they ask all the time, these are very beautiful walls. What is it? It's cow dung. A little surprising, I think, but at the same time, we get so many compliments. It's so beautiful. It's somehow refreshing. It's, in India, of course, in huts, they will put cow dung. Everything of the cow can be used. So formerly, especially, this was like if you had cows, you had wealth. And so Krishna was, his cows are so beautifully decorated, and he was giving them away to the brahmanas and charity. So these descriptions of Krishna's daily activities, Sibanti Kathamritam, the Bhagavatam says we're meant to actually drink them. You drink them. You don't chew them. You know, we may have to chew for some time. Chew means you have lots of stuff going on in the mind. How is this possible? Krishna gave how many cows? Every day, 4,000? Like, you know, we struggle. We have a lot of ifs and a lot of buts. But if he did that, then how, you know, a lot of that is going on. That's kind of some chewing. And we have to chew for some time. But then what happens is just by hearing, we're getting purified. And the state starts to awaken. A deeper faith awakens. And there's less chewing. And then one can actually drink the Bhagavatam. So when you open and you read, it's just like drinking. Really going in and transforming us. Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hiryanta Sobhadrani Udonutta Sukhriptatam. That when we develop this taste for hearing the message, when we start drinking, when we start hearing the Bhagavatam in that way, then Krishna, from within the heart, purifies all the contamination that's there. So when that taste starts to develop, when we really start to relish, even these simple daily activities of Krishna, when we start to relish, and from within the heart, he starts to eliminate all the obstacles. And then what happens? Then the taste increases, drinking more and more, and finally one comes to the realization, one awakens to the realization that I am an eternal servant of God. You really awaken to that. No longer theoretical or something we're trying to force, but one really has that experience that I'm a servant of Krishna. And then everything, it's like waking up from a dream. You know, sometimes you have a dream at night and you wake up and you think, oh, thank God that was a dream. Now I can start my real life. So waking up to God consciousness, to realizing that I'm a servant is something like that. You know, I've been dreaming for so long that I'm this material body and this material mind. And because of that absorption, all these things happening, the drama of my life and all the events, and I experience sometimes happiness, sometimes I'm laughing, sometimes I'm crying. I have hopes, I have dreams, I have desires. This is all springing from I'm this body and I'm this mind, and therefore all those things are ultimately causing so much pain and suffering. But when we awaken to that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna, and we will see that as the kind of like a dream, my previous life. It's a new birth. And then one engages in the real life, which is just to be blissfully serving Krishna. Always. Become a servant of God, a lover of God. So, thank you all for your attention. If there are any comments, questions? Yes, we would come up.
Great class. A couple points. citing Janma Karma Chamedivyam, I was in Vrindavan in the mid 80s in Brahmananda. He just recently left, so it came to mind. He was given Bhagavatam class, and he reported how, or he described how Prabhupada, I think Prabhupada asked the question, what's the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita? And everyone was saying, Sarvadharma, Dhritya, God, you know, and Ramanam, Avamad Bhakto. And, but then he said, no, this one, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, because it's our kind of ticket to the spiritual world if we actually enter into that understanding. And one other, Giriraj Swami in an anchor devotion class in the early 90s in Vrindavan was describing how Prabhupada described four kinds of intelligence. You mentioned the two, the lazy intelligence, and then the active intelligence, and of the two, lazy intelligence is more superior. And Prabhupada described how one actually develops lazy intelligence, and it's on the basis of spiritual strength. If one goes very deep in a sadhana practices, and he encouraged his leaders to really study his books, and in that way, they could enliven people to take up service so that they're not working. Like, and he used the expression "working like asses." Better to have five asses working for you than, I think he used that term, than work like an ass yourself. But it was kind of, it's not like that. Of course, one sees the devotees that he's engaging, you know, who's in a leadership position like that. But he used that expression too. And then the lazy ignorance and active ignorance, and the two. It's better that lazy ignorance, because then you don't make any trouble. You know, you don't cause disturbance. Because if you're active ignorance, then there's havoc. Because you try that. Anyway.
Thank you for sharing. Yes, busy fool. He also said fool. So he would say busy fool, lazy fool. The lazy fool is better. It creates less of a problem. But the busy fool is the worst. Thank you, Guru, for sharing that. Very beautiful what you shared also about the. How to come to that point of this intelligence to accomplish so much is by going deep in our own spiritual practice and spiritual life. First message.
Very nice class. Thank you, Prabhu. One memory in one memory tape, one devotee was recalling how he was going to get the opportunity to be with Prabhupada more often, and he thought, wow, what a chance to see what it is to be by a powerful person. And but it was very surprising to him that as he was observing Prabhupada's daily activities, it appeared that he was simply doing ordinary things, you know, but his realization was that such a powerful, spiritually powerful person, they may appear to be doing ordinary things, but wonderful things happen around them.
Yeah. And we have to also see, we have to see the extraordinary within the ordinary. So many lessons are derived from just seeing Prabhupada do these simple things. So much is there. And like you said, the effect it has, what's actually happening beyond what we're just seeing in a small space. Thank you for sharing that. Someone else, any comments or questions? Thank you very much. Granta Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki, Srila Prabhupada, Ki.